Hey, everybody, it's Michael.
And Bryce.
And Riley.
And if you're listening to today's episode, there will be a video version of this episode you're listening to up on our Patreon, BCC The Other Side, which you can subscribe to at patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club. Just like the people that we're about to thank, because it's time for Patreon shoutouts. That's right. If you sign up for the show, we will thank you on the air, like we're about to do right now. Do you like the song I sing to you? As I scroll back down the list. Here we go. You boys ready? Listeners, ready. Yeah. Are you ready? Buckle up. Stick around for a second. Jeremy Aylesworth.
Thank you.
Victoria Velez.
Thank you.
Monica Gallagher.
Thanks, Monica.
Emily.
Thank you.
Chris Strayer.
Thanks, Chris.
Angela McBride.
Thank you, Angela.
Brian Baldwin.
Thank you.
Christine.
Thank you.
Benjamin Matthias.
Thank you.
Susie.
Thanks, Susie.
Jake Ellington.
Thank you, Jake.
Stuart Long.
Thank you.
Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Solo. Ooh, as in Solo, a Star Wars story? The movie Solo thanked us?
Thank you.
I mean, subscribe to us? Thank you. Well, thank you, Solo. Thank you, Solo. Stephanie Erickson.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Rocky.
Thank you.
Amy Oler.
Thank you.
Jason Fitchko.
Thank you.
Deborah H.
Thanks, Deborah.
Alex Opapari.
Thanks, Alex.
Robert Spencer.
Thank you.
Danielle Littleton.
Thank you.
Gordon Steinberg.
Thanks, Gordon.
Casey.
Thank you, Casey.
Karen A.
Thanks, Karen.
Steve Giles.
Thanks, Steve.
Courtney Stoddard.
Thank you.
Joel Kent.
Thank you.
Steven Operock.
Thank you, Steven.
Megan Hindman.
Thank you.
Alexander McKenzie.
Thank you.
Are you part of the House McKenzie, an Outlander? I'm still on Outlander, guys.
Loving that Outlander.
Angela Bloom.
Thanks, Angela.
Or Blum.
Either way.
Thank you both. Jacob Stein.
Thanks, Jacob.
Jess, big deal.
Thanks, Jess.
It's a big deal that you subscribe to Patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club, The Other Side. Matt Butler.
Thanks, Matt.
Daniel Sink.
Thank you.
Will Bailey, welcome back, Will.
All right,
thanks, Will.
Mark Wilson.
Thank you.
Chris Cisernos.
Thank you.
Matthias Martinez.
Thank you.
Bob Midas.
Thank you, Bob.
James Harp.
Thanks, James.
Dylan Weaver.
Thanks, Dylan.
And Jennifer Soltero. All of you have joined
you,
Patreon
Jennifer.
Since our last L-Files episode. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Guys, we're going to talk about it in this episode. That's all you need to know. Sign up, BigfootCollectorsClub/Patreon.com. Now it's time for the show!
It's Bigfoot Collectors Club with Bryce and Michael. I know a ghost story or two.
All right.
Let's do this.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Bigfoot Collectors Club. Why do I keep calling it the Bigfoot Collectors Club lately? It's just Bigfoot Collectors Club. I've been mad about this with other people, and now I'm getting mad at myself. It doesn't matter. It's your favorite podcast, Bigfoot Collectors Club. Welcome back. I'm your host, Michael McMillan. With me always is your other host,
Bryce Johnson.
And our super producer,
Riley Bray.
Oh, God. All right.
Dick.
Trying to make me look even worse than I do.
Whenever we do our Instagram photos, Riley always goes third and gets the best on both of us. He always, it's like Price is Right rules. Like when you get to like bet on the gallery third, you're always gonna have an advantage because you know how everybody else bid.
That's definitely my strategy. That and having Grace to do all my photos and help me stage them.
Well, you just blew my perfect segue, Riley, because I was gonna say the secret ingredient to all of those photos is actually the guest that we have with us tonight. Radiant, musical, it's got a wonderful photographic eye. guys, she's an unofficial member. I mean, I would say official member of the clubhouse. Come on, let's be honest.
Give her the club card.
Recurring series regular.
Recurring, yeah. She's a 7 out of 10, as the business would say. You're a 10 out of 10. You're a 10, Grace, but like you're recurring in 7 out of 10 episodes, is what I mean. That's what they call it. Heavily recurring. All right. Everybody, please welcome back. Music artist with the song of the summer, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Club Scouts of All Timelines, it's Grace Mitchell back in the clubhouse.
Hello. Thank you for that amazing intro. Holy smokes.
Grace, your song Mango has been stuck in my head for about 2 months now. Because I got a little sneak peek before it, you know, it came out.
Yeah, so right. You did.
I was singing it all to myself all the time, and now I still am.
Oh, man, that means a lot. That is really special to me. Thank you.
I got the kids know the lyrics now. That's how I've been playing it too.
Sweet.
Yeah, they're singing along to it, so it's official.
Curly wooly hair, picking fights in the keg line. Ow, 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 ow.
Wait till you guys see the live acoustic version that we just finished editing right before we came on for this.
We just finished it. Riley and I are the dynamic duo.
No way.
Yeah. A flugelhorn.
Why aren't we doing the live show? Wait a minute. Why aren't we doing the live performance here on the podcast? Right.
Yeah, totally. Bryce can play drums. You can play flugel. And then Riley plays trumpet.
Great.
Yeah.
I love it. Did you actually set fire to your oven making the video for those?
Do you know what's crazy is that, okay, I need to clear this up. I need to make a PSA. I did not light my oven on fire. And like, you're a Hollywood actor. You're a Hollywood actor. Riley is a Hollywood actor. I don't understand how people think I actually lit my oven on fire. It's special effects, baby. We're living in Hollywood.
It looked very real. That's why.
Everyone was like, did you actually like, is your oven okay? Like, was it actually smoking? And I was like, no, it's a smoke machine. And it's just a incense lighter that like glows that we put inside the oven.
It's crazy to me how many people think. A witch that smashes mangoes now? Are you a practitioner of the dark arts?
Yeah.
Yes, I am actually doing witchcraft with mangoes. Yes, that is true. But yeah, I don't know. You would be shocked to find out how many people have asked me if I actually lit my oven on fire. Has anyone asked you, Riley, if they've seen the video?
No.
Because Riley directed the video. I don't know if everyone knows that, but director Riley.
Riley. Amazing. The first of many.
Listen, music videos that Riley's directing are a little bit of a sore subject here on the podcast because we still owe our listeners a video that we started about a year ago.
That's a good point. Well, you know, summer's coming around, boys, and you know, might be time.
Just pause it like this. He's been practicing so to get ours super good. So.
I wasn't ready yet. I had to do like a kung fu montage first of like editing. Yeah. And then now I can make our video.
You had to train with the Ascended Masters in order to.
He had to get his skill level up there.
Yeah. Well, everybody should check out Mango and the video directed by Riley. It is honestly a great song. I love it. So go do that, stupid people. Okay, before we get into your listener files today with Grace Mitchell, we have a little bit of clubhouse biz, Grace, if you'll indulge us. I want to reach out to everybody who's supporting the show and say thank you. If you want to support the show, there are now numerous ways you can do it. Okay, first of all, easy and so fun. Go to wearecampfire.media, click the shop button and get yourself some of that sweet, sweet new merch that we have in our shops. Guys, we're about to drop like 3 t-shirts on your heads. All right. We had Derek Cole's Bigfoot Clubhouse last week.
We've got
a new shirt that should be announced today. I'm just not announcing it just in case it's not ready yet, but check Instagram. It's another one for summer fun. I can't wait to share it with you guys. And then next week, we're going to have a very special t-shirt debuting here on the show. So get ready, guys. We are giving you all the summer merch you need. You can go to wearecampfire.media, click to shop, or guys, guess what? I built a little link tree in our Twitter and our Instagram.
You are so proud of that link tree.
Oh, so baby. Modern. So hip. Yeah.
Look I at spent you. A Sunday wow. morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael goes, and then look, and it was free too to do it. And then like 5 minutes later, he's like, I went with the pro. I went ahead and upgraded.
We need really it. We can't afford to get it, really, when you think about it.
So if you click the link in our bio on Instagram or Twitter, it's gonna spit you out to all the BCC portals, okay? You can shop all the merch through there, and you can also sign up to BCC The Other Side, which is another way you can support the show, for $5 a month. You get 3 to 5 bonus episodes every month, including a video version of the episode that you're listening to right now.
Yeah.
What crazy deal, you guys.
Guys, what kind of stuff are we doing over there?
Oh, my God. All kinds of stuff. Movie clubs.
How about a Bigfoot movie club? Yes.
Yeah, out there's.
Out there episodes, conversations on esoteric topics with us and occasional guests.
Oh, yeah, post-episode hangouts with guests, like extra stuff where we like really get into all the stuff that we couldn't get into in the show.
That's exactly. My new favorite thing. I've been really digging those. I like that because we get in sort of like, it's like a green room discussion, and I've been digging those.
Yeah.
Exactly. We've got Bryce's Secret Stash segments where we watch paranormal videos that Bryce keeps in a dark corner of his hard drive. Yeah. We've got additional stories of high strangeness that we won't do here on the show. They're exclusive to The Other Side and much, much more. More Riley. You guys love Riley. Come on.
Alien meditation. So there was an alien meditation track, right, that we did way back when. Mm-hmm. A listener reached out to me and told me that he happened to find that right after he got his vaccine. And so he was all like tripped out and he listened to it and he made contact in his mind.
Shut up.
With an alien. And,
God.
Wait, I don't want to mince words here. That's bad. So let me see what he said. He DM'd me about it. And
while Riley finds that,
You say it though. Okay. Say your
biology. I was just going to say that more reason to subscribe to the Patreon. Bryce's Secret Stash last week made me believe in ghosts. Like, because I'm not a ghost person. I don't mess with ghosts at all.
Right.
And that one with the hotel room.
Yeah.
Horrifying.
But you won't find out if you don't subscribe to the Patreon. So you better do that.
This is what he said.
Crazy.
The cats were scariest for
me. What did they say? Sorry, cut you off.
No, I know. I love that you cut me off to help sell our Patreon. That's
how we're... To whore out your Patreon.
Keep it coming. Keep it going.
And I love that the people who subscribe to the Patreon are just watching us plug the Patreon now. Yeah,
they enjoy it. It's fun.
Yeah.
This is what he said to the aliens when he saw them. He said, I'm back on Earth in bed. I'm just letting you know many of us like me are really kind, but some of us are hostile. So please be careful when you come. So we helped deliver that message to the aliens. Also,
and the aliens are like, let's just get rid of all of them.
I don't know.
They're like, how hostile per se?
Define hostile. Yeah. So if you subscribe to the Patreon, maybe you could talk to aliens is the long and short of it.
That's exactly. So cool.
And if you're weird and want to make a contribution but don't want extra episodes every month, you can now drop a few coins in the old Bigfoot tip jar over at buymeacoffee.com. The link for that is also in our link tree, so check that out. And then finally, if you want to support the show for free, just for free, please take a quick minute and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you do, we might read it on the air, just like this one. And this is perfect for today because it's actually a Trojan Horse L-Files written in a 5-star review. This comes from Miss Chenandler Bong, who says, excited to be a Club Scout. 5 stars. This podcast is the greatest. Bryce, Michael, and Riley are hilarious, and the stories are always amazing. I love their discussions and always end up laughing. I could listen to Bryce explain infinity forever. That's an old segment that we haven't done for a while. We might need to close out with that today for this as a thank you for this 5-star review. Miss Chenandler Bond goes on. Today, the high strangeness got even stranger when I was listening to the episode with Tom Higginson of the Plain White Tees, amazing guest, and the podcast stopped playing when I opened a new page in Safari, stupid iPhone. I hit play in the control center to start the podcast up again, but instead, my phone started playing Hey There, Delilah.
Oh, that's some high strangeness.
Or even AI weirder. Spying. Either way.
Yeah, it sounds a little
also strange.
A little bit spying.
Even weirder, I haven't even downloaded the song to my phone. It's in iCloud, but I'm always deleting things to make space, LOL. It's possible, just like me, it's possible the iPhone could just be a smart or really good at spying on me, but I'm going to choose to believe it was an amazing synchronicity and a message from the universe saying it agrees. These guys are the best. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Chandler Bong. I love that name. That's great.
And you don't even have to make it that elaborate. Just give us one sentence why you love the show. 5 stars. And, guys, I'm going to tell you what. And the boys don't know about this. Grace, you're here as a witness.
Okay.
I'm going to make a proclamation, okay? What? You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
We have currently on Apple Podcasts 641 reviews.
That's amazing.
Okay.
Wow.
If we can get to 1,000, I'm going to make our listeners the promise here, right here now, that will record the BCC jet ski special. But we're not going to do it unless we get at least 1,000 reviews on Apple Podcasts. So
I want to get on a jet ski so bad.
Let's get Bryce on that jet ski, people.
I've never been on a jet ski.
Bryce. I've never been on a jet ski.
Criminal.
Grace,
criminal.
You will be there. Grace.
I will inevitably be there. Yeah, so, yes. There.
Get Bryce on a jet ski. Get us to 1,000 reviews on Apple Podcasts, please. And we'll make it happen. All right?
I love it, Michael.
That's not so hard.
No,
for people to just do. Come on, it's so easy.
419 to go. We can do this. Yeah.
It's so easy.
I will jet ski nude.
Don't think that.
Really, oh my god!
Raising
the standards.
No, this is good. Actually, look,
all in.
Here's no. Wait a minute. No. Here. I got a new deal for the listeners. 1,000 reviews on Apple, 5-star reviews. Just 1,000 reviews, but make them 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And we will put Bryce on a jet ski for the BCC jet ski special. 1,000 Patreons, and Bryce will ride that jet ski naked. And we will make that an exclusive video on BCC The Other Side.
I think this qualifies
as workplace sexual harassment. I think you need to put that on OnlyFans. That's like a different platform there.
We will shoot a video of Bryce riding a jet ski naked if we get 1,000 Patreons. That is a guarantee.
You have my word.
That's a guarantee.
Make it real.
All right. It's the 1,000 for Bryce on a jet ski deal, guys. All right.
I love that none of this was pre discussed. That's the best part. We just commit right in the air.
Bryce is like, I'm doing what?
He volunteered.
I'm in. Fuck it.
He volunteered.
Let's go.
All right. We'll do it.
That's good.
1,000 Patreons. Bryce is naked on a jet ski.
Let's 1,000 do it,
Apple Podcasts, BCC jet ski special happens. Now, here's the thing. One really can't happen without the other. I guess it could. I guess we could just shoot a video of Bryce naked on a jet ski and post it on the Patreon if we get 1,000. But there may not be a special to go along with it. It might just be a video of that. That might just end up being
just like a random video.
Whatever.
All right, guys. We love you guys.
Summer's coming up. It's up to you guys. Get it done. All right, here we go. Let's get into this episode. Grace, thanks for being here. Bryce, we have Riley, get ready because we have some.
BCC News! That's right. You know, guys, UFOs are back in the public forum like never before. Louis Elizondo was on 60 Minutes. Former President Barack Obama was on James Corden's show late night with that's how I say it?
Yeah, James Corden.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Corden.
And he was asked about UFOs, and I love what he said. I think, this is sort of we've heard presidents talk about UFOs before, and usually they use a sort of a very jokingly manner, and they're always very coded in their language. But I'll read the article. Obama on UFO videos. We don't know exactly what they are, end quote. The Navy has for years confirmed the legitimacy of videos from jet fighters that tracked unidentified objects. Former President Barack Obama on Monday offered a blunt assessment of the videos, unidentified aerial phenomenon that have continued to gain attention in the United States. Quote, what is true and I'm actually being serious here, is that there is footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are, he said. Obama's comments add to the growing legitimacy of the reports of the unidentified phenomenon.
I don't know what they are.
I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
I'm half committed.
Yeah. There were hints. Yeah. It was just subtle.
I just wanted to do a flavor. Yeah, and the government's awareness of them at high levels. Appearing on The Late Show with James Corden on CBS, Obama offered some levity on the question of aliens and his personal curiosity before assuming a more serious demeanor. We can't explain how they move, their trajectory, he said. They do not have an easily explainable pattern, and so I think that people still take seriously trying to investigate and figure out what that is. The U.S. Navy has for years confirmed the legitimacy of videos from jet fighters that tracked unidentified objects, some of which moved in ways that aeronautic experts have struggled to explain. An upcoming Pentagon report combined with a newly leaked video, a 60-minute segment, and a feature in The New Yorker have reinvigorated interest in the videos. The new video recorded by Navy aircraft in July 2019 shows a spherical object flying not far above the ocean before it dives into the water. It splashed, military personnel say on the video. The topic has drawn the attention of some senators who are calling for deeper investigation into the phenomena, like Senator Marco Rubio from Florida. And I'm going to stop reading there, but...
You were like one sentence away from the end of the article, but that's fine. Like,
yeah, Marco Rubio.
It's my thing. It's my thing. So I don't want to give it to him.
We all dry up after hearing the name Marco Rubio, right?
Well, hey. Yeah.
Hey, I love it when I do politics on the show. Thank you very much.
Speaking of, so there's supposed to be a big document. Let's see. You know, in Trump's stimulus bill, he included this sort of UFO package that would be dispersed publicly through the FBI, CIA, and the DOD and Pentagon. So it was just this wild move in some 5,000 pages of stimulus bill, but it had UFO enthusiasts sort of back on their heels going, wait, what? So by the end of June, you know, the DOD is supposed to disperse all their classified, unclassified documents on anything they have on UFOs is supposed to be dispersed to the public. So it's a really big time for UFOs right now. And I was going to say, speaking of Senator Marco Rubio, he just had an article in the news lately that said, you know, that might have to be delayed. So it looks like there's some stymieing on the DOD part. So I don't know. I know a lot of people are really excited. Some people are, you know, ringing that disclosure bell again. But at me, I'm just sort of just like, we'll see when it happens, you know?
Yeah.
But I loved Obama's basically like saying, and this has always been my, you know, feelings on what the government knows is we know they're there. We don't know what they are. We don't know where they come from. We don't know how they do what they do.
I think that's the key takeaway. Yeah. Grace. So. You're the only one of us who's gotten an up close look at one of these things. Grace Mitchell, tell us, what are your feelings about disclosure?
Yeah.
Disclosure in summer of 2021.
Well, to what Bryce was saying, I almost said Grice. Bryce was saying, I am stoked that all this like stuff is coming out about UFOs and people are confirming it. I feel like the government does know what they are, though. Riley and I have had discussions about it because, like, I don't know. I feel like there's some I don't know. I sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I feel like there's some intergovernment alien, some sort of trade off going on. I know that sounds insane, but I really do feel like the government does know what they are, and I think the government is trying to reverse engineer them. That's just a personal opinion. It has based on absolutely no fact.
like, the best well, opinions are totally, really.
But that, Grace, totally that's just my instinct.
That's a very popular theory. I mean, that's what the whole back, that's like the whole mythology of X-Files, and that's from the 90s.
Right.
That's a very popular thing. And so a lot of people are into that. And I'm sure they know more than obviously anyone would let on or what we do. But here's the other thing. I also think that presidents aren't told everything because they're not in office very long.
No, so, totally. Yeah. I don't think that the president I think that Barack Obama probably doesn't know what they are, but I think that the DOD knows what they are.
Sure.
Well, and you know, as,
I think they know they exist, and they might even have some of it recovered. I'm just not sure. They're like, it's the Pleiadians built this craft, and the Greys built this craft. I don't know if it's. I think that's a little bit of fanboy speculation baked into
Well, I just want to add here stuff, that even though by law they're supposed to disperse these classified and unclassified documents on the UFO topic, anything related, as we discussed in our three-part Roswell series, there was some agency, some dark agency that came in and basically took all those boxes and those files, and God knows where they went. So you can't release files that are hidden away somewhere.
I love
when Bryce
starts to sound like he's given the Sunday sermon. You know what I mean? Like you get
and when
Bryce
you got
on
those
UFO
documents, you just can't do it. And so that's what I'm trying to
bullets.
Say.
Only God above knows where these documents were taken. I do think though, I think we'll get some more and more of this stuff. I think it's I just don't think we're ever gonna get a hardcore like, here they are, here's what they look like, and here's what planet they're from. I don't
I hold my breath for that.
I don't know. I still
I think we will.
I don't know. I hope so. That'd be great. I just think that the drastic difference between us and aliens is almost too much for our minds to comprehend. Yeah. I think it would be like a goldfish trying to explain what humans are and what reality looks like above the surface of water. I think it's so wild. You know what I mean? At least that's where I'm playing now.
You never know what's going to be released. As we look for in our stories of high strangeness, details and oddities that people normally miss. So, UFO enthusiasts are going to be combing through those documents, and who knows, maybe you might find a little Easter eggs here and there and some real gems, some interesting
and also
information.
More conspiracy, because half of them will be heavily redacted. Anyway,
oh my God. So. Yeah, that's exactly right. Just because they're released doesn't mean that they have to be released unredacted. So remember Stan Friedman when he showed
those? Yes, I was just about to
Roswell?
Say this. Is...
I mean, the whole thing was blacked out. I mean, you could maybe read a sentence or two on an entire page of text. Well,
this gets me excited, is this is ultimately going to lead to the next Stanton Friedman. Some like chubby astrophysicist with like a beard is going to come out and become the new new gospel of UFO disclosure. So I'm excited about that. This is just going to bring us a new Stanton Friedman, and that's exciting because we need one. Okay, here we go, guys. Let's get into your L-Files. These are listener stories submitted to us at BigfootCollectorsClub@gmail.com from listeners. If you have a personal paranormal history or story of high strangeness that happened to you that you cannot explain, write to us there, BigfootCollectorsClub@gmail.com, and it might be featured on the show. Why don't we kick off the mailbag with, I know I've been doing a lot of talking, but this is a really special letter that came in that I wanted to kick things off with. And I think this is a really touching letter. Not so much high strangeness, but I just thought it was a really lovely letter to share. And the listener said it was cool if we shared this. Hi, Bryce, Michael, and Riley, and Grace. I'm sitting here writing to you watching Patient 17. Yikes.
Oh, yeah.
That's, of course, the documentary by Jeremy Corbell. Also doing a lot of breaking news work on the UFO stuff. I'm actually writing to share something deeply painful, but also to give thanks to the universe for the moment of synchronicity listening to The Other Side. Today marks a month since my dad died. He had a cardiac arrest at home, and thankfully, after a few years of poor health and a bit of struggle dealing with it, it was a swift and relatively pain-free transition for him. Dad lived with my stepmom and my half-brother about 3 hours away from my home. I was traveling back 2 weeks after Dad died for my brother's birthday. He was turning 16, and we were, until all of this happened, planning to do a bunch of stuff. I listen to your podcast all the time, and as a fairly recent Other Side subscriber, I had a lot to catch up on. I stick the podcast on even when I drive and let it do its thing. I had about 45 minutes of the journey as the episode Reflections on Death came on, and it honestly took my it took me so by surprise to hear Bryce say, "It will come as a surprise to you here, a surprise to you to hear my father passed away 2 weeks ago." I had to pull over and listen and sob a little too. Bryce, your reflection felt like it was recorded for me in that moment. The timing was perfect, and your deeply reverent exploration of what might come next when we cross over was so helpful for me as I dealt with the overwhelming pain in my own grief. If I'm honest, I'm not dealing particularly well with my dad's death, but I've listened to the podcast a couple times since, and it helps to hear the observations of an individual dealing with the same feelings, albeit 2 years prior. So, just to say thank you for the candid reflection, but also for listening to your gut and recording it. I don't think my chaotic thoughts would be as orderly had our lives not crossed into the other side a couple weeks ago. Thank you, Keith.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
I just thought that was really lovely, Bryce. And also, Keith, we love you, man. Hang in there.
Yeah, sorry to hear about your the passing of your father. Yeah, that's tough, man. We'll all be there someday. That means a lot. Thank you, man. I remember when we recorded that episode. I still think about my dad all the time. And thank you for that wonderful, lovely message, man. That means a lot.
Yeah. And as someone, we've all dealt with grief in our own ways and for things, I know it's really hard right now, but it does get better. So my advice is lean into it. There's no way around it, but through it. So just dig in, get through the grief, and you will eventually get on the other side. So we're sorry about your loss. And thank you for listening to the show and hang in there. That's all.
Yeah. Thanks. It's really nice to know that, like, this thing that we make has such personal moments in people's lives. You know, it's very moving. That's really cool.
Yeah, that
hit me too. I wasn't expecting that. That's nice to know, right? I mean, I think that's a big part of like why we share these passions. For one, because it's really about sort of creating this community. We've said it on the podcast before, but it's like, there's not a lot of people you can talk to this stuff about with passion and enthusiasm, you know? So it's, we really appreciate the community that you guys are a part of. It's a very special thing. I'm stoked about it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Stoked about it. Stoked. Right. I'm psyched, man.
Super Woo! Pitted on it, dude.
Yeah. Psyched.
It's tubular, dude.
Bummed that you're sad, but psyched that you love the show. Grace, you want to kick off the L-Files bag as we're getting into the spooky stuff? You got a letter there. Why don't you read your first letter for everybody?
Yeah, allow me to.
Oh, beautiful dress, by the way. Very stylish.
It's a shirt, but thank you.
Oh, well, I just
my reading glasses.
I thought it was
on.
Like an Oscar gown. It's sparkly.
Yeah, this is from Yves Saint Laurent, and I'm wearing it to the Oscars this year. This L-Files comes from Kate from Texas, and they say, "Hello. Last week I was in the living room with my husband and our 4-year-old. We read an article about redistricting the school zones in our area, so I pulled up the maps app on my phone to see where this new school would be. So I pulled up the maps app on my phone to see where the new school would be, and in we were in the boundaries. Suddenly I heard a loud, high-pitched noise in my ears. My husband and child didn't hear it, but I could see the concern on their faces as I was holding my ears. It was so loud I couldn't really hear anything else. Then the sound stopped, and I couldn't hear what sounded like a busy restaurant in the kitchen area of the place. I could hear pots clanking, lots of shouting and talking, but couldn't make out what they were saying. It was muffled, but sounded familiar. Oh, sounded similar to the noises I would hear on a Saturday night at a busy restaurant I worked at in my early 20s. Just shouting orders, who is plating that, what needs to be done, and just constant noises from cooking, but again, all muffled, so sounding... Sorry, there's like a couple typos in this one.
No worries.
Again, all muffled, so sounded like gibberish. It's just the closest thing I can describe. The noise as possibly coming from M period. Then the loud, high-pitched sound came back and slowly faded away. I closed out the app and it was gone. Do you think this was a weird signal from satellites because I was using a map app or some weird jump to my days as a waitress? I can't figure it out and only I heard it. Have you guys ever heard of such a thing? I can't find anything from Google searches and hoping you might know of a story of something like this happening. That's really interesting because actually Riley and I were just talking about a similar thing a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So sorry, I was not very good at reading that, but basically I collect from that story that she was on an app and then she heard some maybe like tinnitus type of sound and she doesn't really know.
It sounds like the tinnitus crescendoed into the sounds of a busy
hell.
Restaurant.
Yeah, right.
And I don't think that's a side effect of Google Maps. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Totally. Accurate. Yeah.
I mean, I guess what I'm not sure. And I've got the letter here, so I'm reading it too. It sounded like it wasn't coming from the phone. It was in her ear.
Mind.
It was
in her head. In her mind.
Mine's
yeah, right.
So what were you guys talking about, Grace and Riley?
Well, we were talking about energy attacks. Do you want to explain what those are, Riley?
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that, but that is interesting. Yeah, there's been...
That's what I was thinking of. That's what I first thought of.
There has been this... there's talk of this weapon that's like an energy attack weapon, and it's been used apparently... You guys know about this? It's been used apparently on like spies and operatives and stuff, and it's... I think it's based on a microwave beam, like a focused high-power microwave beam, and it causes... like audio hallucinations and vomiting and nausea and all this stuff, but... Unless this person's a spy or spy adjacent, hopefully it
Kate,
was a microwave
spy?
Attack. Hopefully.
Tell us now.
Kate.
But,
you have to tell us if you're a spy.
You might have a microwave pointed at your head.
I mean, I think that sound, though, like I've heard that sound. I've told Grace about this. Like I used to hear that sound when I was a kid. Like it's like all these voices all going at the same time. And it's like, somehow like really loud but also painfully silent at the same time. I used to get this thing, I'd get like this weird feeling and then it would come on and I'd hear that when I was a kid and it was scary and then it would go away and I like thought I was crazy, but I'm not, hopefully. Yeah. So and it went away when I got older. But when she was describing that, I was like, yeah, that would be a way to describe it. I think the closest representation I've ever heard of that sound is in 2001. You know, like when they come up on the monolith and you hear all those voices from the choir kind of all going at the same time. And there's kind of a high pitch ringing attached to it. Like, so I don't know, like Grace and I've talked about this too. Like, what is that sound? Yeah. Like, what are you hearing? It's like, maybe you're hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go. You
I felt something similar to that before. It will happen. When I'm like just about to fall asleep and it's like, to me in my mind, I feel like it's like, I don't think it's literally radio waves, but it sounds like radio waves. It'll be like thoughts from my day or something like that. But then it's like, then I'll hear voices that aren't even like people that I know. And they'll be having conversations about shit that I don't even. And then, then I'll be like, oh, I'm going to go to sleep. But then I'm like, wait, what just happened? It's like an auditory hallucination or something.
Yeah, I do that. I've done that. I do that a lot where I'm falling asleep and I start auditory dreaming before I visually dream.
Totally.
So that's definitely, I've done that.
I was just going to say, that sounds very much to me like what it could be. And I think it's some sort of, you know, chemically induced, like your pineal gland produces. No, it's
you're on a personal.
You're high. That's
this
a problem.
You should be
school zone districting.
Bryce is on a personal mission ever since he revealed part of his secret life as a natural DMT producer. Like,
no,
this
but
is
like,
your on.
Look.
Yeah.
I think, you know, look, our pineal gland produces melatonin as well as serotonin and dimethyltryptamine. And who's to say that it perhaps you might have been really tired? And Michael, like you said, you know, what could have happened is, you know, a dream structure started to create itself. And within that came the auditory sounds along with it. Perhaps, you know, had she gone into that deep sleep, she might have had a dream about her waitressing days or something like that, or those familiar sounds. But it sounds like it bled right over into her waking world. It's crazy, but it's not completely out of the realm of possibility.
I got a whole other take on this.
Mm.
Cause I have specifically heard this before. I've probably told this on the show before, but it's been a while. When I was in London in college, I stayed in a flat that was above an empty pub that was being refurbished. And we were all excited when we moved in at the beginning of the semester because we're like, a pub is going to open downstairs from us. This is perfect. And the pub was called Positively 4th Street. And to get to our flat door, we had to walk through an old carriage tunnel. And to the left, as you're walking wow. through, was the windows of the empty pub. And the bummer is it never opened. It never got finished before our semester was over. So that was a bummer. But don't worry. It. Plenty of places to drink in London. So we were, right. trust us, we were fine.
Yeah, you got drunk.
Yeah, we got drunk. Yeah. We had lots of hash. We were okay. So got a little too comfortable with public urination that year. But one time over the course of that semester, my buddy was backpacking through Europe and stayed with us. And we had gone out and we were coming home from the pubs and we were chit-chatting, talking about stuff. And as we entered the old carriage tunnel to walk up to my flat door, the door to the flat, as soon as we entered the tunnel, suddenly we heard all the noises that this listener, Kate, just described. Busy, full wow. restaurant, voices clanking dishes, the murmur picture a pub on a Saturday night, just full yeah, yeah. of people. A little bit of music in the background. And it was so natural that we didn't even notice it because we'd passed yeah. by, 10 or 12 pubs on the way home. We didn't even notice that we were hearing it until we got to the end of the tunnel, stepped out of the tunnel, and it suddenly stopped. Wow. And Eric looked at me, I looked at him, and he goes, did you just fucking hear that? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, the pub full of people that we just passed? And I go, yes. And we walked back into the tunnel, and you couldn't hear anything. So wow. I think what my question would be for Kate is, where were you when this happened? She said the living room, but maybe your house is on what used to be a restaurant or some commercial zone or something, or that if it's an old house, maybe the kitchen used to be, maybe it was a boarding house and there were people there. I don't know. And maybe it's a coincidence that it happened when you were, it's also funny that it happened when you were looking up redistricting and boundaries. So there was something about the layout of the land.
I just maybe thought of a term I like. Channeled. What if it's like, auditory ghost. Sure. You know what I mean?
Sure.
We yeah. see ghosts. Why can't we hear ghosts? You know,
just
what I mean?
A little yeah. playback from yeah, back
little
in playback, time.
Little residual yeah. sound.
And that's yeah. more and my take on it. Not necessarily that it's like the voices of people who have lived and died, but like that right. it's like this like universal subconscious, mm-hmm. like this chattering kind of ether yeah. of awareness that's like if sometimes just like skipping through radio frequencies, like your brain can just click into it and you hear mm-hmm. this background noise that's there all the time, like all these minds on earth all thinking all at the same time, like there's got to be some kind of connective
yeah, hive
tissue
mind.
To that yeah, yeah.
How yeah. great of a movie would that be, like a sci-fi movie where somebody could just tuner his brain like and just click into different realities and
yeah
that would be pretty sweet.
Radio Man.
Radio Man. Yeah.
Bryce and Grace, the dynamic writing
yeah.
duo.
Yeah, there we go. We'll do it. All right.
Bryce, why don't you read us your first story of the night?
Yeah, let's do it. Here we go. Hello, Bryce, Michael, Riley, and Grace. Side note, I have sent this story, but I think it might have been a little long ago, so this is revised to be a little shorter and more concise. About 5 years ago, I was driving home late one night from my friend's house. There's a particular stretch of the road that every time I drove through, it felt especially ominous. But I really didn't know why. I was driving through the area, and in my headlights, I caught what I thought at first was a shadow of something in my headlights on the left side of the road. I slowed down, thinking it might be an animal. The black mass moved into the opposite lane. Calm down, Bryce. It wasn't Bigfoot. Okay, that's what I was thinking. As I was trying to figure out what I was looking at, I came to a rolling stop off on a small shoulder of the road. I watched as it moved across the road toward an area that was near a pond in the field past the fence. I got out of my car to see if I could see it in the field or in the bushes. A dark, cold feeling came over me, and I felt something was standing behind me. I turned around, there in my headlights stood a very tall, cloaked figure. It appeared to be facing me, and I heard a voice that I wish I could erase from memory say, "Leave, Lightbringer." To this day, I really have no hard theories as why it called me, quote, Lightbringer. A deep sense of fear rushed over me, and because this had not been my first encounter with something like this, okay, I fought the urge to run and stood tall and said very sternly, "No, I am not leaving. Why are you here?" It extended its arm and pointed a long, thin finger towards the pond that was in the field.
This is some Charles Dickens shit.
I know. Bryson's so good.
As I looked at the pond, this overwhelming sense of sadness, fear, and anguish came over me, and my head felt like it was submerged in water. It felt as if I was drowning in water. I finally broke out of the hold it had on me. I turned to face the entity, but it was gone. A few days later, I confided in my friend what had happened. I told her what part of the road it happened on and the pond in the field. She told me that over the last few years that two people had been murdered, possibly more, and their bodies had been pulled from the pond. I believe what happened is there is a beacon for dark spirits or demonic entities, and they are feeding off the pain, anguish, and other negative things that came from that area. Anyway, that's one of my other experiences. Let me know if you want me to send you any more in the future. I don't want to bug you with them. Will.
Will?
Well, thank you, Will. You're not bugging anybody with these stories. Send what you got, man.
I believe Will also sent us in this story many episodes ago about a very haunted cabin in the woods.
Oh, wow.
Will? I don't know. I think you got to talk to a paranormal expert because you might be a conduit, my friend.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Creepy
Away
story.
Away with you, Lightbringer.
Get that finger out of my face.
Yeah, he's like, this is for dark creeps, okay? We can't have any people who aren't into murder over here.
Yeah, you know.
Will was literally like, screw you. I'm staying.
Dang.
And bringing the light.
Yeah. I'm going to bring this light, bring girl. It on.
You know, I've always been sort of fascinated with the idea. So the Gnostics had this idea that this world is a false reality and that a demiurge or a false god created it and that these fallen angels, these subversives called archons, feed off.
Are you making this up on
this? Are you pitching a graphic novel?
No, I'm dead serious.
This is part of Radio Man's mythology.
This is a backstory.
Radio Man versus the Archons.
Look up Archon, Archon, and the Gnostics. And they felt that the Archons fed off of negative emotion and dark energy and fear. And that's how they gained power, almost like a battery. So,
oh yeah, they look like this isn't the Gnostics. This looks like an H.R. Giger creature. It's very
I will not be looking that up. That the crap out of me.
But, hard pass for Grace.
Yeah, I've always been fascinated with sort of that Gnostic philosophy that this whole world is a prison like environment, and that the ruler over it is, they call it the demiurge, which is just like the god that we think is the god that created everything is actually the false god, and there's something higher above that. I think that's sort of it in a nutshell.
Now we're getting into Philip K. Dick territory. He was into the Gnostic stuff and his Dark Materials, a little bit of that.
Yeah, and Gnostic is just, I think it's Latin for knowledge. It's having that divine knowledge of the truth, you know.
I'll never forget when I made my mom so upset because I was like, "Mom," I was like, probably in middle school, I was like, "Okay. Let's say all these guys in the Bible talked to God when they heard these voices from God. How do we know that God was the real God?"
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Why couldn't it just be someone who got on the phone and tricked people into thinking he was God, but really it was somebody who wasn't supposed to be doing that? I said, just because someone calls you on the phone doesn't mean they invented the telephone, Mom. That was my example. Right. My mom was so annoyed with me, A, because I think she never thought of that before. And then she was like, no, that's not right. You're wrong. And I was like, and then later I was like, oh, I think maybe I'm a natural Gnostic.
You're like, don't overthink the Bible. It is what it is.
Yeah. The Bible is perfect and it makes perfect sense.
Like, no.
The real question is, though, what did we do to end up in this mind prison planet, then? Why are we here, if that's the case?
It's the Black Lodge. We're all trapped.
Simulation
in the Black Lodge.
Theory?
Yeah. Well, it's like, I think it's to overcome the, to find out for yourself the truth, you know? And another, going even further, the whole idea, too, and I always thought this was pretty interesting, is that, you know, the serpent in the Garden of Eden represented the real force of creation, and it was allowing the human endeavor to sort of take place by offering what?
Pastor
knowledge.
Bryce,
I am so here for that. I'm with you. Yeah.
Hail
yeah.
Pastor Bryce so, is
it kind of just flips everything. Yeah, it's really just everything is a reverse, you know. So, mm-hmm. but it's pretty. Yeah. It's cool.
No, Bryce, women are evil, and they caused the fall of man. Thank you.
Thanks, girls.
Yeah. Thanks, ladies. Right, it's all your fault. Right.
Well,
we
if he
can't
thought,
control
did he know they were
going to
eat that apple? I mean, come on. He knows everything.
I feel like this is like a very heavy L files already.
This is what you get Brad and Grace on. It's like, we're going to hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Princess of Darkness. Riley.
Princess of Darkness.
Yeah.
What do you got for us? Read us your first letter there, my friend.
All right. Hello, all. Here's my personal story of high strangeness. Let me take you back to 2003. I'm a 17-year-old theater nerd attending a musical theater academy for high school in Southern California.
Oh, baby, baby.
It's at the top of the charts.
Yeah, 2003, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Paris Hilton's partying in clubs.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, Michael's turn to sing Britney Spears.
Every episode, there's a Spears break.
Britney Spears intermission.
Hashtag free Britney.
Theater nerd, I should have been like singing Rent, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You hit the era. I think you nailed the era.
525.
Guys, I'm never going to get through this letter.
25,000. I'm
sorry. That's how long it'll take me to finish this letter. Okay. I was in a costume design class, and I was really enjoying it. The only issue is that the classroom and the costume storage rooms were located in what we lovingly called the dungeon. Our school was over 100 years old, even back in 2003. The dungeon was below the stage, and part of the school... Wow, in Southern California? What school is that? That's crazy. The dungeon was below the stage, and part of the school was the size of a city blocks. It was dark, damp, and dripping with asbestos. There were two entry points on opposite sides of the dungeon, old creaking staircases. My best friend and I went down there for some reason and split up to find whatever we were looking for.
To make out.
Yeah, I was like, come on. And smoke some weed.
Let's go get those Elizabethan era pantaloons.
Yeah, now you're talking.
You can't find them.
That's why everyone does theater. It's just for those pantaloons. Okay, 5 minutes passed. 5 minutes passed, and we are nowhere near each other anymore. We couldn't hear each other. I walk near the second staircase, and all of a sudden, I feel wind come down the stairs, followed by a sense of dread. Instantly, I start screaming and run toward my friend, the breeze chasing behind me. As I turn As I turn a corner, I see my friend screaming and running toward me. We book it up the main staircase and slam the door behind us. Once topside, we find out we had the same experience, a gust of wind followed by feelings of panic and dread. About a month later, the school was putting up a production of the musical Secret Garden. You got any Secret Garden for us, Michael?
I don't know Secret Garden.
The night before opening, I had a very vivid dream. This was strange.
Come to my garden. I think that is one.
All right. Very vivid dream. This was strange, as I rarely remember my dreams, but this dream felt like a premonition. My dream was that the show was about to start. The music was playing, and I'm told the lead, the cute and most popular boy in school, had lost his hat, and I needed to go down to the dungeon to get him a new one, and I had about 3 minutes. I run down to the dungeon, grab a hat on my way out, and I am grabbed and attacked, and that's when I woke up. At school the next day, I tell everyone about this dream. It felt so real. Fast forward through a day in musical theater high school, tap dance class, singing class, math for creatives, monologues, and you. And now we are in the theater and the show's about to start. Can you guess who lost their hat? My dream is now coming true. I'm terrified. God,
no.
But the show must go on.
Her pants.
Yeah, no, I'm scared.
Seriously. I grab my best friend, same friend, and we run down to the dungeon, both petrified. We grab the hat and turn to leave, and then bang! No less than 4 costume racks collapse and fall to the floor. Damn, this is crazy, honestly. That's when we ran like we've never ran before. No looking back. We got the hat on the head of the high school hottie just in time. But it took hours. Yeah, this is great. Okay, right. That's just for you, Michael. You got the horny teens and everything. But it took hours for our adrenaline levels to even out. Of course, our theater was haunted. What theater isn't? But our ghost, George, was really aggressive and evil. Well, that's it. Thanks for the podcast.
Wait, you're just gonna Kristen, you're just gonna introduce George, the name of the ghost, at the very end of the letter.
George. Anyways, that's George for you.
This I love this. This is 90% high school theater drama and 10% wind. Like that's what this is. And then like one dream. The dream thing's fun and it's interesting, but I this brings back so many memories. I love this. This is great.
Theater I fun. Love when they leave the I immediately think of when the Ghostbusters leave the New York Library after seeing the when they're running out of the dungeon. That's so great, man. That's sounds like there's some that lives in that dungeon, man. Mm-hmm. That's not just happenstance. There's a ghost down there.
There's a ghost down there, and dreams are portals to alternate realities.
And all high school theaters are haunted. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. I just kept picturing this writer and her friend as the girls from Pen 15.
Oh, I love that.
Like, for sure.
So excited and freaked out.
Yeah.
That was awesome. George, stop knocking over the costumes. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's time for more Elf-Files with our guest, Grace Mitchell.
Woo!
All right. It's time for more listener files from you, our dear listeners. I'm going to kick this one off. Let's do this one. Happy strangeness, Michael, Bryce, Riley, and most likely Jen Kirkman, but maybe Adela Levine. So close. It's Grace Mitchell.
The other girl.
The third girl that's ever been on the show.
The other of the three girls.
Yeah, the other of the three girls. Back in the mid-70s, my father's youngest brother, Juan, was to be married in a small town just outside of Mexico City, and my parents had plans to go be part of the festivities. Tio Juan was the youngest of four brothers and the only son to be married after his father had passed a couple of years earlier. About 3 weeks before the wedding, my mother received an invitation in the mail for a party of some type here in Los Angeles, which would be taking place on the same date as the wedding. Now, my mom, being British, believed that it was proper to write a letter back to the LA party stating why she couldn't go. I sat at the kitchen table with her as she wrote, and then she said, "Oh, look what I did. Instead of writing that I would be at your uncle's wedding, I wrote that your father and I would be attending his funeral."
Oh my God.
She shook her head while crossing out the word funeral and then wrote wedding. Okay, I'm going to pause right here.
She's Mom, a murderer.
No, new piece of paper.
New piece of paper, Mom. Yeah, don't start, cross out.
New draft. New draft.
Start from the start with a fresh sheet.
Yeah, it's like to do list.
Parchment.
Murder. No.
Yeah. A few weeks later, she and my dad flew to Mexico where a different uncle picked them up from the airport and drove them the 40 minutes to my grandmother's house. When they arrived, the groom to be was downstairs in the bathroom, so my parents decided to take their luggage upstairs, unpack, and get settled in. When they head back downstairs, they were sad to learn that my Uncle Juan had left to be with friends for his last night as a bachelor. Early the next morning, my mom was the first person in the house to wake up, and she heard something knocking on the metal front door. Not wanting everyone to be awoken by the noise, she went to see what was there. Upon doing so, she was confronted by a small, elderly peasant-looking woman who, in Spanish, told my mom, "The child is living with the father." My mom was confused because there were no children living in the house and told the woman that she must be at the wrong house. She only repeated the words, "The child is with the father," then turned and began to walk away. My mom closed the door just as one of my relatives was coming down the stairs and asked who was at the door. My mom explained what happened, and they opened the door to ask the woman what was happening, but she was gone. They looked down the street, and there was no sign of her. A few hours later, there was another knock at the door, but this time, when they opened it, there was a policeman standing in front of them.
No.
He said that there was a car accident during the night and someone needed to go to identify the body. My parents went with the police officer and confirmed that it was indeed my T.O. Juan who had died in the accident. Back then, the freeway was driving. He was driving on had no emergency lanes, and a truck had broken down with no safe place to be in the middle of the road. No hazard lights flashing. My uncle was driving full speed and plowed into the back of the truck, killing him instantly. Sometime after midnight on the day he was supposed to be married. 2 days later, my parents attended his funeral as my mother had predicted in the letter.
Whoa.
My mom was quite sensitive to spirits and unknowingly having predictions, predictions, as was her uncle, my sister, and myself. But I'll save those stories for future episodes. I love your show and can't wait for when the time comes for another live show. Your third biggest fan, Manuel. And I know this Manuel. We've worked together on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and True Blood. Manuel, you never told me that story. That is wild and
that's
so sad.
Crazy. Yeah, it's just
wow.
Like, what a heartbreaking story.
Insane.
This is the darkest L-Files.
It is. At least we got our jokes out up front before we knew about where that was going.
Yeah.
So feel bad, man. About that, but.
Wild. And Manuel's got he did come to a live show. I can't remember if he spoke in our live L-Files, but he like had these haunted candelabras that were causing some weird stuff in his house recently. Mm. That's a wild story. What do you guys think about that?
Go ahead. No, you go, please.
I need clarification on the woman saying that the father is with the son. Was there a boy in the car?
I think that his father was dead. Yeah. And she was telling them that the son, Tia Juan, was now with their father.
Wow.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
That's horrible. That's really sad.
There's so many layers to this of it. First of all, just being just an utterly tragic story.
Yeah.
Of someone dying on
Tia Juan
day.
Was the youngest of four brothers and the only son to be married after his father had passed a couple of years ago.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But then the premonition from the mother and then the messenger showing up, the spirit messenger. I mean, this is.
Yeah. Do we think that that woman was a, maybe like a, not a real, human being or
corporeal
like a,
form? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
Maybe.
Or just
maybe
could have
she
been another woman who is sensitive. Who's, you know, just picking up on those vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's spooky and sad and scary. That is wild. Manuel, if you're holding out, give us more stories, please.
God,
all
that's
right.
Like, that's like that stuff, like, you know, almost like, you know, before you come to this planet and your soul's like, okay, I'm going to go back down to Earth. Unfortunately, you know, I got some good news and some bad news. You're going to have a great life, great family, but, you know, you're going to pass away on the day before you're supposed to get married.
Party.
Yeah, it's just
some
like
dumb truck
man.
Stopped in the road.
That's how many stories are like that exist out there? Just like that's anyway. Thank you for sending
this
that, Manuel.
This is the darkest L-Files we've ever done.
It's interesting too, though. Like Michael, you've known him for years now, and you know the deeper spiritual and paranormal layers that we all have is, you know, when you start talking about this and then it just keeps coming.
This is like not something you really talk around the craft service table, I guess. So
we are all one haunted of
your,
people.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You talk about it to thousands of strangers on the internet.
Yeah. And one of your colleagues just has to start a paranormal podcast. Grace, why don't you send us the next letter?
Okay. All right. This letter is from Santi. She's from Patreon.
I believe.
Oh, he. Sorry. Santander. They. Santander? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hi, BCC. I heard you guys were looking for listener stories. I have plenty. Here's one. While living in a foreign country as a kid, I was brought to a mountaintop lake to get baptized by witch doctors. I was about 5 to 6 years old. As far as I understood, it was a Roman Catholic baptism, but in retrospect, there were no priests or anything indicating it was by a church. We took a trip through the rainforest, up the mountains, across an Indiana Jones-worthy wooden plank bridge that's over a waterfall to get to a lake somewhere in the mountaintop.
Love wow. It.
I was with my mom and 6 other people that were presumably witch doctors / shamans because they were all dressed in ceremonial tribal attire. I distinctly remember one of the witch doctors taking my hand to go to the middle of a shallow lake while my mom and the 5 other people were praying on the shoreline. The witch doctor I was with started chanting in a language I didn't recognize despite knowing the local language, and then she submerged me a few times in the water. Now, here's the weird part. The first time I resurfaced a bit... here's the weird part. Well, I don't want to be insensitive. Maybe this is not weird in their culture, but to me it's weird. The first time I resurfaced, a bit panicked and gasping for air, I instinctively looked to my mom as a kid would. I saw her clearly as the sun was still up, but the 5 other people with her did not look human. They looked like humanoids made of amorphous globs of static and shadow. I saw them every time I surfaced. It looked like they were either on fire or had waving tendrils. The skeptic in me thinks that maybe I hallucinated during the baptism, but I vividly remember seeing these entities. Mind you, though I remember some panic, it wasn't like I was getting drowned. It was actually very gentle. I remember getting back to shore just fine, though I don't remember what happened afterwards. Being more scientific-minded as an adult, I don't really think on it much, but it was definitely a surreal experience. I still encounter these entities every now and then, and they're always in fives. Keep up the amazing work. Love the podcast. Santi.
Wow. Okay, I just want, before we get into this, wow, I want to apologize. It's not my place to assign gender to anybody that I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, me too. I don't know
how Santander identifies, because we've only spoken over Patreon, so I apologize, Santander.
I also made that mistake. I second that apology.
Binary.
Static, that's one of my favorite letters blobs we've ever yeah gotten. I think that's
fucking red.
Indiana Jones, witch so cool doctor baptism, mm-hmm, amorphous
also very
fire
funny
people. Fire people. Fives. Fucking awesome. Yeah.
He wrote that great, like really funny, good descriptions.
Yeah.
Got a lot of visuals. Love that.
Have you tried lifting your fridge with the force? Because you probably have some sort of special powers, special untapped powers you just don't know about or haven't used yet.
Yeah, that's a head start for sure.
Yeah.
I want to know what he thinks that the amorphous they creatures
think
are.
I don't know.
They think, you oh my God. I know. I'm sorry.
It's just, I actually don't know.
But it's whatever.
Yeah, we don't know.
We're cool, right?
It's okay. But I want to know what they think, what the amorphous creatures are, because they were like, yeah, they were there, but I don't know what they are. Like, what is
was it
they
the witch doctors, like shamans, like becoming their connected form? Is that
that's
the
what
idea?
I because that's what Cause I pictured in my head.
Saw that,
what do you guys think that they were?
They yeah look like humanoids made of amorphous globs of static and shadow. I saw them every time I surfaced. It looked like they were either on fire or had waving tendrils.
Damn.
I don't know. I think you were in touch with something
yeah, you were
spiritual
in the spirit
there.
World.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is like you were seeing the spirit aspect of that in a very spiritual moment.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I mean? And Santi, if you weren't literally, you were symbolically, so it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I think the ritual is doing its thing.
Mm-hmm. It is strange because I mean it does sound like a baptism. I mean, you
still
know,
encounter these entities. I still encounter these entities every now and then, and they're always in fives. So that's like those are some spirit guides or something.
Yeah,
I
yeah
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just listening to an episode of Duncan Trussell where he had Jessa Reed on. And I don't know if you guys know her, the comedian. Mm-mm. She's real trippy and very cool. It was a fun episode. But they started talking about something that I feel like you've talked on the podcast about before, about the many split dimensions or layers to like our reality that you can like tap into via like light work or drug hallucinogenics, like that. That we live in this like baseline reality, but then you can tap into other realities.
Sure.
And I wonder like if maybe in his kind of like with the spiritual energy and going through like the ceremony that maybe he now tapped into like a level of reality that is not visually observable, but like spiritually.
Yeah. I think reality is like an onion, and I think we can see layers on top or below us. I don't know.
I agree. Yeah. I think that's a good way to perceive it.
Ceremonial. And it sounds like whatever they experienced, it was very ritualistic, and through ritual, we can sort of peel back those layers of onions. And
because otherwise, you know, what's the point of the ritual?
Is. Yeah, exactly.
What's the point? You know, it's totally. Not to get closer to the spiritual realm.
Riley, didn't you say that you have experienced the multi-layers to reality on GMT?
Oh, God. I'm becoming like a cartoon character. Of like,
hey, man, we live in a spiritual continuum. But let's check out this cryptocurrency, bro. Yeah,
but honestly, I did.
He's like, no, but
that's absolutely accurate, and yes, that's true.
So, you know. Riley's not really shared those stories on the show
I
yet.
Have, that's too. I talked a little bit. Eric Edelstein.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit. Okay, all right.
Come on. I was go back to that. It was a great episode.
All right. Fair enough.
I got to say is lucky you. That sounds radical, lucky you, whatever Santi. You experienced.
Seriously.
Okay. Yeah. Bryce, what do you got for us?
Let's do it. Here we go. Hey, Michael, Bryce, Riley, and guest, Grace Mitchell. I mentioned this in a comment on the Patreon this week. P.S., to the new listeners, the BCC patron subscription is completely worth joining. But I figured I'd elaborate in a listener story email.
Oh, brother.
I gave birth to my first and only baby in 2019. She's 20 months old now, and she's given me a deeper connection to the other side ever since she was conceived. While I was pregnant, I had dreams of my deceased Aunt Carol visiting me with a little girl. I don't know or recognize the little girl, but Carol would tell me, "I'll watch over her until she's ready to bond." When the midwife placed my baby on my chest after delivery, it became very clear to me that the little girl in my dreams was my daughter. Aww. Aunt Carol was my favorite member of my extended family. She acted as a grandmother to my sisters and I while we were growing up in Northern California. As she and her husband, Uncle Bill, were the only relative that was within a 1,000-mile radius of us. We spent the weekends at her house in Palo Alto, and I thought Carol was the most interesting lady. She had a house full of beautiful Native American art and pottery, as well as a big, beautiful seashells from all of her road trips over the years. Uncle Bill worked at Stanford University in the 70s and 80s at the Stanford Linear Accelerator Center. Oh, wow. Particle Collider, sounds like. The research laboratory devoted to the experimental and theoretical research in particle physics. Carol made a point to have LSD trips once every 5 years in her adult life.
And Carol,
you are just got back from some particle smashing. I think I'm ready for some an acid trip.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
which rubbed a lot rubbed a lot of my family wrong. But she seemed to know a lot by the time she passed away and lived a really well-rounded life. I was so sad that she died before I had kids because she was a big role model to me. After my daughter was born, we bought a wall-mounted camera and cordless monitor that we could carry around the house to see what she was up to in her crib after we put her to bed. We've literally looked at this crib camera multiple times every day for the last 20 months, and I've only seen an orb on it once about 8 months ago. But last week, I took a late-night run to the grocery store after we put the baby down for the night. My husband, who is the ever-stalwart skeptic in our relationship, sent me this very uncharacteristic text while I was out. Text. I can't believe I'm typing this, but there was an orb on the baby camera's monitor. It kept hovering over her bed for at least 30 seconds. I couldn't stop looking, and as soon as it went out of frame, the baby woke up and started babbling at something or someone in the corner out of frame. I'm fucking boggled. I texted
I'm
back.
Fucking boggled. What a fun thing to write in a text. I'm fucking boggled.
I'm fucking boggled. I texted back, OMG, someone is visiting her. He said she sounded really happy and content, so he didn't want to go in and startle her or end the encounter since she seemed to be enjoying it. In honesty, I think he was too scared to open the door and see what was going on. Yeah. When I got home from the grocery store, the baby was still awake but was settling back down. She slept through the night every night since she was born, so a random wake up like that was really unusual, regardless of the orb. I like to think it was Aunt Carol stopping by to check in and see how our daughter is liking this whole human experience so far. My husband said, all of these podcasts we listen to finally have me believing in orbs. Thank you!
We've done our job. Nice.
Looks like the BCC has brought over one more believer. Thanks for all the great work. Mwah. Kisses.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
Thank you, whoever wrote that letter. It wasn't signed, but God bless it. That's an amazing story. It was your Aunt Carol visiting that baby, and orbs do exist, and you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Petition to make baby monitors less scary. Have you guys ever seen a baby monitor?
It's it is like a little
image.
Miniature horror movie that
you
continually plays.
Did you ever
literally
see
a nightmare.
Do you ever see the video where the baby climbs up to the edge and is like this and like something's like holding the baby?
I'm good. And baby, no, I haven't seen that and I have no desire to. Thank you for putting that image in my mind. Oh, I don't. I wish I could erase it.
Yeah, no, it was
holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're scary.
Wow. They really are.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Wild. Wild. I love it. It's great. That was from listener Abby. So thank you, listener.
Oh, thank you, Abby. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful letter. Incredible.
That was great. I have no notes. No notes.
Ghosts are real. That was Aunt Carol. I mean, I think we can move on.
Aunt Carol's fucking cool.
No notes.
And she learned some shit. Form. She learned some shit on those LSD trips. She's like, I know how to cross back over once I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And also to your husband, skeptics make the best believers. So
that's true.
That's a great. Did you make that
I
up
did
just
now?
Now?
Yeah.
That's really good.
That was
like that.
Amazing.
I mean, that might have to be
quote.
A t-shirt.
That's a good t-shirt. Right.
That's actually a really good t-shirt idea.
Make the best believers. Oh. I love it. Yeah.
Really landed that idea. All right. Cool.
Good job.
Riley, you're so prophetic.
Well, Riley. Let's see if you can land the episode. We have one more letter. I thought we'd end it on a light note tonight.
All right,
so
cool.
Here we go.
Hey, guys. Woke up from a weird dream. I'd gotten Mike and Bryce. I love that people just write to us from that, just for starters. But I'd gotten Mike and Bryce to help with a presentation at an assembly for a local high school. I had a throat injury and couldn't talk, and you guys graciously agreed to help me. You guys showed up dressed as Banshee and Wolverine from the X-Men. Mike is Banshee, Bryce is Wolverine. Well cast, Dream. That's a well cast Dream right there.
I'm absolutely the loudest X-Men. That is my. That's my God,
this gets better. The presentation was to be on James Joyce's Ulysses.
Oh, wow.
You guys focused the discussion on Leopold Bloom's use of ayahuasca. Bryce then lit a cigar to stay in character. You guys talked about the beneficial use of ayahuasca and other mind-expanding drugs, and I wondered if we'd get into trouble for encouraging high schoolers to take drugs, but we never did. Dreams are so weird. Anyway, keep up the great work. Martin from Weed.
Wow.
Of course Martin lives in Weed.
Yeah, you know Martin lives in Weed.
Awesome. Oh, from Weed, California.
Yeah.
Wow.
California.
Wait, I love that image. You guys as X-Men telling an auditorium of high schoolers about the wonders of ayahuasca.
This is why the X-Men are hated and feared.
So good.
The students are just like, what the fuck?
Honestly,
is this
that could the likelihood of that happening is actually
it's like
quite
within
high.
Within the realm of possibility that this dream this was a prophecy and it will be foretold.
I included this because this might actually happen in the future, and I wanted it on record.
2,000 Patreon.
Michael Bryce will go to a high school.
I will dress as Wolverine.
Yes.
And
if you give us 2,000,
we'll make this
Patreon
production.
Subscribers per month.
That's
we
awesome.
will make this happen. We will go to a high school dressed as the X-Men and present on ayahuasca
in the context of James Joyce's Ulysses.
That's true.
So it's, you know,
we're
going
to have to unpack that.
Yeah, 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 I have to read it first.
Yeah, same. Oh my God. I don't know if anyone's ever actually completed that book.
No.
Joseph Campbell.
Grace, final thoughts on this mailbag tonight. What's the one that really got you thinking?
Man, all of them actually had me thinking thoughts. I'm thinking thoughts about that story because lately I've been thinking a lot about like dream projections, like what is going on in a dream? Who are the other people in your dreams? And there's a running theory that like dream, like people that you project in your dreams are you.
Yep.
So like in theory, this guy is thinking about you and Bryce as like projections of himself. Like maybe he like is using you guys as tools to become better people. I don't know. So like that's what I was thinking about that one. I think probably my favorite story is the Indiana Jones one from Santi.
Yeah.
Because I love that visual. Yeah. And then Bryce was really scary. That story is going to keep me up for tonight. I'm not going to be able to fall asleep with the extendo finger just pointing at the shallow grave.
Yeah, that's creepy.
I hate that.
No, thank you, Will.
That had me thinking about Men in Black. Because, anyway, so that's my thoughts.
Yeah, nice. Totally. Great. You know, I was just going to say, I talk about it a lot. I feel like I repeat myself, but I'm currently reading Robert Wagoner's book about lucid dreaming. It's called Gateway to the Inner Self, but he talks a lot about dream figures and going beyond the reality of just dream figures and going behind the lucid dream. So he got really into it, but I think an interesting aspect is that he said, you know, while lucid dreaming, some of these dream figures would fight for their own reality and consciousness. In other words, sometimes he would become lucid and he'd be like, hey, you're just a character in my dream. And then they would be like, what are you talking about? And then they're like, I'm dreaming and you're a character. And they would be like, and they would break down. Some of them he recalls like breaking down crying because they realized they weren't real. Whoa. Like some of these dream figures would fight for their own consciousness. It was insane. And some of them would act totally out of the realm of expectation because as a lucid dreamer, you know, usually what you expect to happen does. And some of these dream figures would defy expectation on purpose to like, in other words, he started to realize that there is a content creator behind the dream structure and possibly even some of these dream figures. So although a lot of them do represent parts of ourself, filtered in those dreams are characters who are made by some other person's intelligence. Crazy stuff.
I believe it.
Fascinating.
Careful what you dream, kids.
Yeah.
Yikes. All right. Well, Grace, we don't know where to find static tentacle people, but where can our listeners find you?
All over the internet. I am at Grace Mitchell on Twitter, Instagram. You can like my Facebook page. I think I have that. my YouTube is Grace Mitchell Music, and I just released a song called Mango. You should go check it out. Stream that bitch.
Yep.
And what else? Like and subscribe. I don't know.
Smash that like. Kids say.
Do it. Yep.
Smash that like. And turn on the bell notifications. Yeah.
Yeah.
And TikTok. I think I have a TikTok too. It's called Great. Fake Sex with three is oy, the oy, E. Oy.
That's a Gen Z only situation.
Well, you know what I was going for actually is I really like Phoebe Bridgers' handle. It used to be Fake Nudes, and so I stole that idea and made it my TikTok, and it's Fake Sex. You can go look that up.
Yeah, all right, cool. Check that out. Follow us at Bigfoot Collectors Club on Instagram, at Bigfoot Pod on Twitter. I'm at McMills on Instagram. Please follow me there. Bryce Riley.
I mean, I'm gonna jump. Oh, Bryce, I'm gonna jump the gun on you here.
Jump in there.
Let's get Bryce naked on that jet ski. That's my plug.
Yes,
make it happen, people.
1,000,
and it's worth it. I promise. I promise you, you'll like the Patreon. We work hard on it. It's good. If you like the show, you'll like the other side.
Less than a cup of coffee. Come on, people, get on board.
Just imagine Bryce riding off in the distance, bare-assed, into the middle of Shaver Lake on a jet ski, guys.
Chef's kiss.
I actually get mad at how much content you guys make for the Patreon because it means less time with Riley. That's how much the Patreon
that's true.
gives you is like it actually affects, impedes my life.
Grace, you
is
and my mad wife at... should talk.
Guys, you can start a podcast.
Our stupid fucking podcasts. They're always on their dumb fucking podcasts.
And I'm alone. So I'm like, I'm hanging out with my friends. I'm happy.
Hey, I have a call to action. Look, I am looking for, again, I'm looking for your Bigfoot encounters.
Oh, if why would that you, be?
If you have seen, heard, experienced a Bigfoot encounter, or what you think is a Bigfoot encounter in the Pacific Northwestern area, ooh, I need to hear about it. Please email me at BigfootCollectorsClub@gmail.com. I am collecting encounter stories for something. Maybe.
Oh, I think our astute listeners might be onto this.
Yeah, they've
game
been down this
now
route. Before.
Yeah, they know what this is.
But
know.
I want those stories. So please send them to me, Bryce. And again, that's BigfootCollectorsClub@gmail.com. Send me your Sasquatch encounters.
Do it. All right, guys. We love you. We love Grace. Thanks for being back on the show. You will be at the jet thank ski you special once we hit those follower counts on Apple Podcast reviews and over on the Patreon. Until next week, guys, big show coming up. Summer's just around the corner. There might be a big sequel to last year's summer event, so get yourselves ready. Until then, Club Scouts of all timelines, good night.
Mwah, mwah, mwah. Kisses. It's and go get regressed.
There it is.
It's a little bit of both.
It's gonna be on the Patreon. All right. Bye, guys. Bye.
Bigfoot Collectors Club is produced by Riley Bray. Our theme song is Come Alone by Sun Eaters, courtesy of Lotus Pool Records. If you like the show, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps get the podcast to more listeners. To support the show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club and unlock multiple reward episodes every month.
Hey guys, Heather Ashley here, host of the Big Mad True Crime Podcast. If you're looking for a true crime podcast with all of the details and none of the small talk, you have found your people. Each week, we dive deep into a new case and learn everything there is to know, from getting to know the victim and the impact their case has had on those around them, to the investigation into what happened to them and who is or might be responsible. And if the bad guy looks like he might drink whiskey by a dumpster or has the social skills of an ogre, we say it because we were all thinking it anyway. As the name suggests, we get big mad over true crime, and I would love to have you join our incredible community of listeners with big hearts and zero time for small talk. Subscribe to Big Mad True Crime anywhere you listen to podcasts and listen to new episodes every single Monday.
Hey, this is Eric Molinsky, host of the podcast Imaginary Worlds. Each episode, I explore different sci-fi fantasy genres, talking with filmmakers, novelists, game designers, cosplayers, comic book artists, and anyone who works in the field of make-believe. I also look at the fan experience, asking, why do we suspend our disbelief? You can subscribe to Imaginary Worlds wherever you get your podcasts.